again, Ganeshjeesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I am Rhonda McBride here with you today. I am going to say Jamai and Guyana to our next guest, Michelle Matroch-Spark. She is Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Get Out the Native Vote campaign. And I have to say that I have known Michelle and her family for many, many years. She is one of a set of triplets. But that is a story that we'll tell another time. Her mother, Lucy, is a revered Chupik elder, and her late father, Harold Spark, was a longtime political activist in the Bethel area, worked a lot in fisheries. And years ago, when I lived in Bethel, Michelle, I remember going to your family's living room there to meet candidates. Although your dad was not an Alaska Native, he was indeed a believer in the power of the Native vote. And I can't help but think that he'd be so proud of what you're doing today.
Dad would have been tickled and a little horrified. He joked to the newspaper when Amy and I won internships in D.C. with Senator Murkowski and Ted Stevens. He joked to the paper that he had told us to get a job and instead we became politicians.
Like get a real job, right? Not in politics.
Yeah.
But it's in the blood. I think it's in the blood that you and your
It's definitely
sister...
in the blood.
But you're yes. also entrepreneurs because you and your sisters started a cosmetics company.
Yeah, and that was in thanks to Alaska, the Alaska Marketplace through the Alaska Federation of Natives. They were really trying to create and foster an environment for entrepreneurship in rural Alaska and, you know, turning down an opportunity for seed money, you know. Even though we were starting our careers and families, yeah, it was too sweet to answer.
Well, as I remember, you were using berries that were gathered in southwestern Alaska as part of the cosmetics. They were like cosmeceuticals, the nutrients. The idea was is to find employment for people in rural Alaska, get them jobs. And so today I would imagine in your Get Out the Native Vote effort that is focused on rural Alaska primarily, I would imagine.
Get Out the Native Vote is a statewide structure, and it endeavors to reach the farthest, you know, hinterlands we've got to make sure that everybody has access to polling, access to voting in one manner or another. And a little bit of voter education goes a long way because an informed voter is a formidable thing. And to have to send out a lot of information, like everything is at your fingertips with the Division of Elections website. But as you know, and Southeast knows, there is a lot of broadband issues. So it's not as simple as a click with your mouse to be able to get all the information you need. There's a lot of information to slog through too. And there's no experts. I think the division also still has to look things up. So, you know, to me, what I say to the communities are, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Don't be shy about asking that question because we can find solutions and answers to things that fall through the gaps.
So give me a typical solution that you've come across after working with somebody.
Well, you know, I kind of joke about nepotism now because it's kind of hard to do some headhunting for certain jobs, especially if it's seasonal in nature, like poll working or being a community organizer, you know, those kind of things. And it's hard to compete with summer. And, you know, so I start resorting to, you know, browbeating my contemporaries and saying, you have a daughter or a son or a nephew or a grandchild that's college age, right? Hey, we need some warm bodies, you know, as long as they're not shy, let's get them working. And, you know, it's never actually really too young to get involved in the political process.
Well, I think that's been the concern in recent years that young people didn't have the habits of their elders of voting. And as I recall back in the day when I lived in the YK Delta, that you had villages with 70-80% turnout. You know, this was maybe 30-40 years ago, but basically the whole village voted. And I think in recent years they've sort of fallen away from that.
That may be true in some regard, Rhonda, but I think a lot of villages still are very devoted to Election Day activity. They prefer to vote on Election Day rather than early voting or absentee. June 11th was a very special occasion because it was in response to a sudden passing of a lawmaker, and we needed to fill that seat within a timely manner. And, you know, I like to say that most Americans vote once every 4 years, and that's only in the presidential elections. To have asked Alaskans to step up and vote, even if it was by a statewide mail-in ballot system that was self-stamped, you know, we maybe at most places we had 20% turnout. But to me, I think that was a success. We had 20% of the population vote in an unanticipated, unscheduled, you know, election in a otherwise busy election season, you know, for today's statewide primary, and, you know, putting a special election in there too, and getting ready for the midterms in November. It's the rejection rate of the mistakes on the ballots that really, really harmed us. And that's one thing we definitely wanted to gear up for and get out the Native vote and all the Alaska Native regionals, corporate and nonprofits and other advocacy groups. You know, what can we do to correct these mistakes so that they don't happen again, and make sure that if we're going to make the effort to vote, let's let it count in the end.
Well, I don't think that Alaska Native voters are the only ones that are confused with this election, because they're
absolutely,
like, as you point out, there's a lot going on. And I think it will say a lot for voters today if they get through today, because they've got two separate races for the House going on. One
there
to temporarily fill Don Young's seat, and then one to take that position permanently, at least for the
right
next 2 years.
You know, and even in my office space, with however long I've been parroting things, you know, some of it got through, some of it was like, today they're like, wait, there's two ballots? Yes, it's one election, two ballots. Make sure on the front page you pick your primary candidate that you want to see on the fall ballot. And, you know, you're one and done per office, U.S. Senate, House of Representatives, Governor, Lieutenant Governor, and your state house, and most of the offices, 19 of the state legislature Senate offices were up for election. Now, Senator Donnie Olson's district was not affected by the census, no change in the census, so he did actually not have to run again this year. So he's the only lawmaker spared in the legislature. Everybody else had to put up some serious campaigns, and in some cases with redistricting, they had to go up against each other.
That's right. Allies going up against allies, suddenly becoming opponents as those lines were redrawn. So what are some of the services that Get Out the Native Vote provides for people?
Well, it's been around as a labor of love, you know, through different Native institutions and personalities throughout the years. And in about 2 years ago, Cook Inlet Tribal Council decided to house it the way they took in the Alaska Native Justice Center. And they want Get Out the Native Vote to build out and become its own entity as a 501c3 voter education organization. And, you know, we're nonpartisan. We're not here to talk about candidates. We're here to talk about, you know, civic duty, civic engagement, remembering the election cycles, remembering to update your voter registration, and in this case, how to vote in a brand new way called ranked choice voting.
So talk about how you prepared voters for that. I would imagine that you would have more obstacles than you would like in an urban community.
Well, doing it physically, you know, being able to do it with visuals is a lot easier than talking through the phone or by writing. You know, a lot of things get lost in the details when it comes to reading things. We saw that in the June 11th instructions for the special primary. So we were very lucky in a lot of the instances of working with places like Manilac, Tlingit and Haida, and Coastal Villages Region Fund, the CDQ group out in the YK. They all had us train their staff on the ballot, and we were able to do Zoom calls or Teams, and to be able to physically show them the ballot and show that, walk them through each office of the first page on the statewide pick one primary, and having them turn it around and look at the ranked choice voter with voting opportunity with the three candidates running for to fill out Congressman Young's term. It was light bulbs going off left and right. People realized, oh, okay, there are two different elections on August 16th, and this is how we're preparing for it. And so they got to go in there with a little bit more confidence and a comfort level, and they were able to be a resource to their own community to say, I know a little bit about this election, so if you have any questions, come in. I will show you the ballot. And I can show you these other materials that Get Out the Native Vote produced, including a commercial. And you can come here and look at it without, you know, using your valuable bandwidth or data from your smartphones, you know, in your own household if need be.
And, so as far as people that speak other languages other than English, like in the YK Delta, it's Yupik, up north, Inupiat.
Inupiat, yeah.
And I think most people in this region in Southeast Alaska speak English, but there are maybe some elders that might need some help.
There are, and that's where name recognition have always worked for candidates with groups like elders. It's easier to just go through that and say, oh, in your head, I recognize that name. I'll be comfortable with that. Let me circle that person in, even if they don't really know them or what they stand for. Yeah, name recognition goes a long way in rural Alaska, and that's why we had people like Ted Stevens and Don Young for most of our lifetime. And yeah, it's the Division of Elections. We're starting to learn more about their process and working more collaboratively on approaching polling issues and things like that, and access. And they can hire translators. We can hire translators any day of the week. We just need to have people interested and engaged and fill out those W-9s and get trained. So it's a lot more easy than saying, I'm interested. There's a lot of, training and process involved, but we hope to build that culture.
So what are you looking to see after this primary? What are you going to be looking at to see how successful you were in your efforts this time around?
We're hoping that because, like we mentioned earlier, our rural areas really like to vote on Election Day, we're probably going to see a better turnout today. And the risk of mistakes are less when you do it in person. So we're hoping to see something like that, that we're going to have a better turnout and better ballot retention.
Well, it sounds like there's so many moving pieces to what you're doing. You know, you've got to train people to help you. You have to kind of figure out where the bottlenecks are in this voting process. But, you know, I always enjoyed watching the village voting process to me. You know, just the things that people would do, like someone would get out on a four-wheeler and go house to house and see if elders might be, you know, needing a ride to the polls, just doing things, or even taking a boat across to the other side of the river in Kasigluk, because I think that at one point they only had one polling station and there were two parts of the village. And so somebody would have to give someone a ride across the river to vote. So there's just all these unique things that happen in rural Alaska, so different than the rest of the country. But, you know, what are some of your favorite stories about voting in rural Alaska?
Well, I would never want to call out a community in particular with mistakes that have happened. But, you know, one amusing anecdote today is one of the tribal administrators had gone to the office to vote, and it was 7 in the morning and it wasn't open. So it was kind of like a comedy to track down who was on the rolls, you know, who was trained and ready to operate the polls. And, you know, if the phones weren't being answered, can somebody go knock on their door and, you know, get them up and out and you know, committed to the day. So it's been really, you know, it's been a learning curve for us too, to know what the Division of Election goes through with every system. And, you know, a lot of rural Alaskans, aren't too familiar with the Division of Elections or the regional operations. So we're learning a lot about them. They're learning about us. We're hoping to be a collaborative approach to election season so that we can head off staffing issues and, you know, polling and issues so that things are a lot more seamless and fluid for our voters.
So just in wrapping up here, of course, today is a historic day. We are trying the ranked choice voting system for the first time in our state. Eyeballs from all over the nation are watching us. I don't think they really understand the complexity of voting in Alaska, especially in the rural areas, to kind of understand our process in Alaska for electing our politicians. But I'm just kind of curious, do you think that in the end, the ranked choice voting will give people more of a voice once we learn this process? You have hopes
Wanda,
for
I
that?
I think we've seen that even in the primary, open primary system. We've seen a range of people that we have never seen before. Now, it's kind of daunting to have 48 people running for the same office and not having a way to pare it down so that we can go through and see what people's platforms are and ideas and values, how they align with ours. That's a bit much to ask of a voter, but we've seen it in the open primary process that we have more of us, you know, that people we can recognize and identify with saying, wow, well, if he can run, I can run. And there's a value to that. And with ranked choice voting, you know, we're reading the articles about people, you know, saying, well, we're supposed to moderate ourselves better. We're supposed to appeal to a broader market of voters, not just our base. And I'm hopeful about that, too. And, you know, I think the fact that Dr. Gross dropped out and there were three candidates on the ballot made it a lot easier to explain ranking. And if, you know, if your favorite candidate was knocked out originally because they were the least vote getter, it was easier to talk about distributing your second vote among the instant runoff between the two surviving candidates. And so if you at least ranked a second person, you're still in the game. You know, even though your favorite candidate got knocked out, you had a say in who ends up representing us in Congress until January. And a lot of light bulbs went off for people.
Well, you know, that is a very good point, Michelle, that you get to stay in this game longer. It's not like you're immediately out of the game when it comes to voting for candidates. If your candidate of choice doesn't win, there's another possibility. So that is a good point. Well, before we go, any final thoughts, Michelle?
Well, we've been very, very excited about Alaska Native organizations looking to us and working with us and saying, what more can we do to help you out? As much as Get Out the Native Vote as a nonpartisan voter education group, as we are, you know, we want to be a resource to you, but you being a resource to us also makes us a very valuable and effective organization. So we're glad to be here. We're going to continue our outreach. We're going to see what kind of data we get tonight, tomorrow, you know, when the absentee ballots are finally counted on the 31st and this election is, you know, certified by the 2nd. You know, we're going to keep learning and we're going to keep preparing to get our voters educated before November 8th.
I'm kind of excited myself because I think this is so much harder to predict the outcome of these races and then where they go from after today.
Yes, I think every structure has to change in reflection of this change, this voter mandate, and it's got so much potential. So I hope we figure it out. We've got a learning curve here, and we'll have a lot more stuff to rank in November. So again, hopefully, we'll have a little bit more lead time on voter education on ranked choice voting, so people are going in there confident.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Sparks. She is Director of Strategic Initiatives for the Get Out the Vote program, Get Out the Native Vote program, which is headquartered at Cook Inlet Tribal Council in Anchorage. And Michelle, thanks for some of what you've learned about voting and being a part of this very historic day. So good to talk with you again.
Rhonda, people have until 8 o'clock to vote today. So I'm glad we're doing this now. It seems like an odd time, but people still, you can still make a plan, find your polling location, and you can still vote by 8 p.m. today.
It's not over. It's not over. All right. That, of course, I voted early, but I'm sure a lot of people did. But yes, we still have a few more hours left. Ganesh Chish, thanks so much. Goyana Chakna.
Ganesh Chish, Goyana, Bucha.
Bucha.